Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study. This is study number 34 in the letter of Jude. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. What I would like to do is just to quickly run through the characteristics that we have so far with regards to what false teachers look like, as revealed to us by Jude. And then I would like to just spend a few moments in talking about what true teachers look like, biblical teachers. All right, before we continue, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you that we can study your word. Thank you that you give us enough in your word to understand who true teachers are and false teachers, biblical teachers and false teachers. Help us to understand it, Father. Help us to make it our own, so that at the end of the day we can discern and at the end of the day do what you want us to do. As we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. Now, when we look at Jude, we see in the first, in verse 4, that Jude gives us the first four characteristics of false teachers. Remember, he said they come into the church, or they get into the church unnoticed. They come in stealth mode. They are ungodly. They turn the grace of God into a means for them to commit sexual immorality and other sins. So they make God's grace cheap, all right? They live ungodly lives. When you really get into their character, if you really look at them, you quickly find out, but these people are not godly men at all. They are ungodly. They love the world. They love the things of this world, all right? They turn the grace of God into a means for them to be able to commit sexual immorality or other sins. But then they also deny different things about the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically things clearly revealed in the Word of God. They deny these things. So in short, we can say that these men, these false teachers, do not acknowledge sound doctrine. They do not follow sound doctrine. They will fall for anything and that comes along. Then when you get to verse 8, Jude gives us four more characteristics of these false teachers, where he says that they are dreamers. The King James translation of the Bible calls them filthy dreamers. Nah? They are dreamers. They are detached from reality. But they also defile the flesh, and they reject authority, and they speak evil of dignitaries. All characteristics of these false teachers. And then in verse 11, we've seen that these false teachers try to create their own righteousness. So they will not have a solid doctrine on salvation. Their doctrine on salvation will include a kind of a works-based salvation. All right, just like Cain. You remember when Cain brought this offering and the way that he saw fit? They will do exactly the same thing. But then also, they are lovers of money. And they will do anything to get money. They refuse to submit to God-given leadership. Right? So they just refuse. And they try to impose their own will on people. So they do not submit to leadership that God has given. Just like what is his name? That would not submit to Moses, the authority. Nah? So they will not submit to God-given leadership. Right, and they will impose their own will on people. They want to establish their own thing. They will create their own little kingdom. And then in verse 12, Jude tells us that there are spots in the love feast. They are like dangerous rocks and reefs under the water that destroys the union within the church, the unity within the church. They are dangerous in the love feast. They are clouds without water. Nah? They promise a lot, but it's all just empty. They run after every kind of new false doctrine that is out there, and they want to implement it. But Jude also describes them as late autumn trees who are spiritually dead, and they do not bear the fruit of the Spirit. You remember that? They do not bear the fruit of the Spirit because they can't. Okay. And then verse 13 tells us that they are raging waves of the sea. They just fall all over the place, foaming up their own shame. where there's supposed to be water, there is just the foam of their shame. The things that they are guilty of, those things are visible in them. Instead of the living water that is supposed to flow out of them from the Word of God, they just foam. All right. Now, Jude describes them as well in verse 13 as wandering stars. Now, and then what their judgment is. They are wandering stars. They are stars that are wandering around. Could be, you know, meteoroids or things like that, something like that, something that, that moves around in the skies up there. They're not in a clear circle. They are wandering around because they are unstable. That's who these people are. And then verse 13 tells us they deserve the blackness of darkness forever. And why would you tell us that these people deserve the blackness of darkness forever, which means condemnation, God's wrath, God's judgment to come upon them? Why? Because these people are false teachers. These are the false teachers that Paul warned the Ephesians about. Remember, we spoke about it, Ephesians chapter Acts chapter 20, when he spoke to the Ephesian elders, and he warned them about these ravenous wolves, these wolves that's going to come in, not sparing the flock. They will destroy God's people. That's what these false teachers do. That's what they are out there to do. That's why they come in stealth mode. They kind of get themselves into churches, not because God has called them to the church. No, they get in stealth mode so that they can bring destruction. And let me tell you, if we look at these people, it is clear that what we're looking at is people that comes into the church and becomes teachers in the church. Yeah, they can be Sunday school teachers, or they can teach the youth, they can teach ladies, they can be in all kinds of teaching ministries, but they can also be the teachers that stand behind the pulpit on a Sunday. Those who are doing the Bible studies, they can be teachers that actually supposed to teach sound doctrine, teach biblical truth, but they do not do it. Therefore, the scriptures is very, very clear that there are certain qualifications for people who are, let's say, going to act as, or who are going to be instruments in God's hands as true biblical teachers, not false teachers. So what I would like to do is, let me just quickly run through a few characteristics or few elders' qualifications, if I may. What the Bible says are qualifications for elders. Now remember that an elder is supposed to be able to teach. That's one of the characteristics of an elder. One of the qualifications of an elder is an elder must be apt to teach. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 2 says, an overseer then must be able to teach. An overseer is an elder. Né? So an elder must be able to teach. So an elder is a teacher. An elder is someone who will teach God's people. And it's clear that the qualifications of an elder is very strict. And why? Because an elder is not supposed to be somebody that comes along and just teaches all kinds of nonsense. No, an elder has a responsibility within the church. For example, an elder must be able to refute error. It says in Titus chapter 1 verse 9, it says, the overseer must be able both to exhort in sound doctrine, that's where the sound doctrine part comes in, which means he must be able to teach sound doctrine, but not only teach sound doctrine, but edify the body of Christ with sound doctrine. And if needed, to rebuke, to correct when it's necessary. Nah? It says he must be able to refute those who are in contradiction, those who contradict sound doctrine. The elder must be able to, how can I say, refute the error of their teaching, must be able to expose false doctrine and teach sound doctrine. So the qualification of an elder is very, very clear. Must be able to refute error and must be able to teach sound doctrine, right? Because they are teachers. So we can actually expect this from all teachers, whether it's, doesn't matter what kind of teaching is done in the church. The people who teach must teach sound doctrine, must be able to refute error. Obviously, not in the same way as the elders do, But somebody that teach must be able to, how can I say, teach good, solid, biblical, sound doctrine. It is very, very important that they must be able to do that. But they must also be eager to serve. That's the thing. So a teacher, that is a real teacher, is there to serve God's people. What are they serving God's people? They are serving God's people with the truth. You see? It must be somebody that has a heart for God's people to teach God's truth to God's people. All right, they must be eager to serve. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, we read, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. And then he says, voluntarily, according to the will of God, with eagerness. Eagerness to serve God's people. Not eagerness to serve self, but eagerness to serve God's people. And that's something that needs to be visible in a biblical teacher. In somebody that teaches. Right? A teacher mustn't be reluctant. That's why 1 Peter 5 verse 2 says, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion. There is no force placed on a teacher to serve God's people. It is a blessing to serve God's people. Somebody that is a true teacher of God's word wants to. It's not a compulsion. Right? It's so important. But there also has to be this godly desire within a teacher. And I'm talking about a biblical teacher here. There will be this godly desire, something that God has worked in that person to basically share the truth of God's word with God's people. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, we read, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. And who places that desire inside of somebody? Yes, obviously, it's something that somebody can look at and say, you know what? I would love to be an elder of the church. So there's this desire that comes up in a person. I would love to be an elder of the church because I can see the elders of the church are men that are upright. They are men that do what God wants them to do. And I would love to be one of them. So there is this desire. And he desires a fine work if he desires to do it. But that desire is something that God works in a person. It is something that is worked in by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, somebody will not pursue being an elder of a church or being a biblical teacher of a church. It's something that God works in us. I normally talk about it as the internal call of God, the internal call of the Holy Spirit, where God actually calls somebody to be a teacher in among his flock, among his people. All right. And this kind of slots in with the fact that somebody that becomes a teacher in the church, somebody that teaches God's people, must be called. It must be a person that is Spirit appointed. It must be the Holy Spirit who basically, the Holy Spirit who appoints somebody to be a teacher, specifically an elder, obviously, specifically an elder, because Acts chapter 20 says, be on guard for yourself and for all the flock among the holy, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his blood. You see, the whole idea is the Holy Spirit made you overseers. And in this case, he's speaking about the elders, yes, obviously, but the elders are the teachers. All right, so when a teacher teaches in the church, it's not because they just said, oh, you know what, I think I need to become a teacher. No, it must be Spirit appointed. Otherwise, that person is going to suck things out of their thumb and they're going to become false teachers very, very quickly. And that's dangerous. But there's another thing that, and it kind of slots in with this whole idea when we look at false teachers. One of the things that false teachers love is to lord over people, which means they love to domineer others. They want to have dominion over others. But when you're a biblical teacher, That's not true. You want to serve God's people. You don't want to have dominance over people. You don't want to domineer the flock of God. What you want to do is you want to share the truth of God's word with God's people. You want to serve God's people to make sure that they grow spiritually and become mature in the faith. Not lording over the people, but rather serving the people. Christ did it. Christ showed us the example. By the way, he's the greatest of examples of somebody who came to teach. Now, remember, he was called rabbi. He was called teacher. And he was the greatest example of what it looks like to be a teacher. And a teacher do not lord over his people. A teacher wants to lead his people to become what God wants that person to become. All right, that's so important. But then one of the things that is so important as well when it comes to teachers must be self-disciplined. Very, very important. Must be self-disciplined. Because a teacher needs to study. A teacher needs to learn. A teacher can't just suck things out of his thumb. That's not how it works. They must be self-disciplined to spend time in the Word, to spend time in studying God's Word, to spend time in prayer. There's a lot of self-discipline in there. And then obviously, interestingly enough, when we read in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 1 Peter 5 and Titus chapter 1, when it comes to overseers, when it comes to elders, those who are teachers within the church, they should not be greedy. In actual fact, it says they must be free from the love of money. There must be no love of money. They do what they do because it's a calling. The Holy Spirit has appointed them, and they do what they do because they love God and they love God's people. That's why they do it. And then they set the example to God's people. So what biblical teachers do is they will teach. Obviously, they will teach the truth of God's word. They will speak the truth in love. They will serve God's people. But they will set the example. In 1 Peter 5 verse 3, where Peter says, shepherd the flock of God, being examples to the flock. You see, it was in Hosea, for example, that we read like people, like priests. Which means that the people become just like the priests. So if you have false teachers in the church, you're going to have a bunch of people that are going to teach false teachings. They're going to become just like the teachers that they are listening to, just like the teachers they follow. And that's why it's so important, especially these televangelists as well, that we should be very, very, how can I say, discerning. Let's use the word discerning. We need to be very discerning to whom we listen, because we become just like the people we listen to. If you listen to weak, wishy-washy doctrine, if you never challenged in your spiritual walk and all that kind of thing, if what is being taught is not biblical but get quick rich schemes and, you know, all these kind of nonsense, you're going to become just like those people. Right, so be very, very careful. That's why Hosea says, like people, like priests. People become just like the priests, those that they listen to. All right, but then overseer or somebody that teaches, specifically in this case, elder, should not be quick-tempered. Nah, Titus 1 verse 7. Because what happens is, somebody that's quick-tempered will just give over to anger and will be easily provoked to do things and say things that are not biblically right. Which means they will set the wrong example and the people will follow the wrong example. Right, so they will not be quick-tempered. And why not? Because the Holy Spirit has dealt with that in their lives. But they will also need not be a drunkard either. Right, because that's what 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 3 says, Titus 1 verse 7, that an elder should not be a drunkard. A false teacher, they will love their dop, né? They will love to have a drink now and then maybe. Not all of them, obviously. There are some that are very disciplined, very, very disciplined, but they teach false teaching. So we need to be very discerning. But you cannot be a drunkard and be a biblical teacher. It's not possible. then they must be lovers of good, obviously. Titus 2 verse 8 says they must love what is good. Really love what is good. Okay. Then there must be a beautiful word in Titus where it speaks about they must be upright. The NIV translated as they must be just and righteous. They must live a just and righteous life before God. There are so many things. They must be gentle, not self-willed. And the problem with these false teachers are they are very, very self-willed. If you just kind of rub them up the wrong way, they get very upset. They are quick-tempered. We must be very careful. Very, very careful and see if people are self-willed. Because if they're self-willed, they're not doing God's will. Right? Because to do God's will is to do God's will, not self. The will of self, but the will of God. And then obviously they're hospitable. They're not violent. They're not quarrelsome. They're not new converts. They've walked the walk and talked the talk. They've been walking with the Lord for a long time. They're above reproach, which means people from the outside, when they look at them, they will say, yep, that person is a devoted person, a devoted believer. It's somebody that you can listen to. Obviously, non-believers will say, ah, no way, man. Don't listen to that person because they don't believe in Christ anyway. But I'm talking about people outside the church in the sense of other believers that are outside the local congregation. Right? They are of good reputation. They are devout to their beliefs and what they believe and what they teach. They are devout as believers in Christ. They're respectable. They're faithful to the word. And then obviously their children behave. Nah? That's Titus, 1 Timothy 3 verse 7 says to us, he must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all diligence. So he must be able to control his household well. All right. Must be able to manage his household. And then obviously, he can't be a person that jumps from one woman to another. He must be a one-woman man. Right? A one-woman man. So, these are some of the characteristics of true biblical teachers. And I believe if we contrast this to the false teachers, or to biblical teachers to false teachers, you will see that Jude is giving us a list of things that, wow, is the opposite of what the qualifications of a true biblical teacher is. I've just took the qualifications of an elder because an elder must be able to teach. So at the end of the day, we can clearly see the difference between true biblical teachers and false teachers. Beloved, and I believe we need to be awake. I nearly said woke. We need to be awake. We really need to be discerning to see whether the people that we listen to, the people that we are receiving teaching from, do they qualify? Or are they false teachers? Remember that Jude warns us about this. Right, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can look at the qualifications of biblical teachers, in this case, elders. And Father, thank you that we can learn so much from it. And then look at those who are teaching us and see if their lives correspond. I pray that during this week you will enable us, Father, to discern so that we will be able to follow those who really are biblical teachers and not false teachers. This we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.